Be the Bridge, your hometown voice.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for, what day is it? I don't even know at this point. It's the 22nd of January of 2021, and we're not even a month in, and it's already, the whole year of 2020 was one we wanted to forget, and we got about 2 weeks into 2020 was one we wanted to forget. 2 weeks into 2021, we're like, okay, I'll take a pass. I think my favorite meme that I saw, I think I saw on Facebook, was I've completed my 7-day free trial of 2021, and I don't want to subscribe. Thank you. I'll just shut that off, please. So maybe things are going to calm down now. Whether you like the results of the election or not, the fact of the matter is there was a certain hysteria for the last 4 years that the media was just couldn't get away from. And again, I'm not making this political one way or the other, although I think there's a political bend to it, but they were in this constant hysteria. And to be honest, you know, President Trump fueled that quite a bit, sometimes more times than others. But so in that respect, the media, I think, and we've already seen some of this with a couple of the press conferences that were decidedly tamer than what we saw for the entire 4 years of the Trump presidency, where they're asking questions like, well, you know, are you going to change the drapes in Air Force One, or are you going to keep the same ones that the previous president had? I mean, it's like, really? That's a serious question. But so, you know, if nothing else, we got past the chaos at the Capitol and the, you know, all sides of that. We talked about the last time I was live that nobody I know condones what happened there. Whether you can understand people's frustration, it doesn't matter, and it shouldn't have happened. But I think some of the rhetoric got a little hyperbolic that, you know, we calling that an insurrection. I mean, technically, by the definition of that word, yeah, okay, it's probably what it was. But at the same time, for those of us that live in red America, if you want to call it that, we know that if there was truly going to be an insurrection from the folks on the right, yeah, that was kind of, that was a junior high fight in the parking lot, what happened at the Capitol. And I'm not promoting that. I don't get the wrong idea. I have no desire for any kind of insurrection or civil war. But let's be honest, those of us that live in the more rural parts of the country know that was kind of like junior hires breaking into the high school and you know, trashing the snack bar. Okay. Again, I'm not minimizing what happened. People died there, but insurrection might be a bit of a strong word. So I'm looking forward to things calming down, and I think they are. I think they're starting to. Right here in our county, a new group of people were opened up to the vaccine yesterday, and the expo center was a zoo, as I've been told, as all the educators were, and then a few people that probably weren't educators, but maybe said they were, based on the numbers that were there, all got in line in their cars and sat there for, you know, at least from the firsthand word I got, at least an hour and a half for some people, depending on when they got there. They closed it down early yesterday, about a half an hour early yesterday. Today, they closed down registration around noontime because They're running out of doses for what they expected to have. They expected, I think, to do 6,000 people in 3 days, and they had already done close to 3,000 after 1 day. And I think after today, they're holding back some for tomorrow because a lot of people can't go until the weekend. But it's crazy. It's interesting. And I'm not one of those ones that's super excited about getting the vaccine, for a couple of reasons, but at some point I think I probably will. I know it'll put my wife at ease. She's not super COVID crazy, but she's already a bit of a germaphobe, and she'll admit this. I'm not telling tales out of school. And so COVID ramps that up for people like her that are already, you know, we always had, we have hand sanitizer in the doors of all the cars. We have, you know, when my son gets home from work, he's still living with us for a little while longer. When he gets home from work, the first thing she says to him is, go wash your hands. So for people like that, the vaccine is going to give a little bit of peace of mind, I think. And it may be necessary. I don't know, because the scientists don't know. They're not 100% clear on this. But they seem to think that it's going to help us get to that so-called herd immunity. And so a lot of things are happening that are calming the country down. And again, if you're conservative and you don't like the results of the election, that's okay. As a conservative, you're going to have to be on your toes now, because the Liberal Party runs the government right now. So you're going to have to be super vigilant, but at least enjoy the fact that the media is kind of calmed down. The country is starting to calm down. We didn't have riots on the day of the inauguration. So we can, you know, at least enjoy, be the optimist, enjoy some of the calming of the country the best we can. And on the other side, if you're a liberal and you probably are happy the way the election went, you thought the inauguration was the best thing you've ever seen. And I have to admit, I've said this for years, Lady Gaga needed to get away from the showmanship that she started her career with. She needed to get away from that a long time ago. She is an excellent singer. She can sing, unlike some of these pop stars that, you know, use a lot of auto-tune. She has talent, but just use the talent. Get rid of the meat dresses and the other stuff that she used to do. You know, some of the younger kids, you may have to look that up. But early in her career, she did some really interesting stuff, and it wasn't necessary. She's very talented. I haven't watched any inaugurations because I have a job and it happens while I'm at work every time. So I haven't watched one that I can recall my entire life, but I saw the highlights and I enjoyed some of the entertainment. And it's okay with me that entertainers are, you know, don't share my politics. And frankly, a couple of the people involved in that inauguration, I know for a fact, are not lefties. They may be Democrats, but they're pretty center left or even center. But they still participated because it's a national event. It doesn't matter who the new president's going to be. So, you know, half the country's real happy right now. The other half is, you know, a little upset, but let's all enjoy the calm that has come out of this. And we've got a great show for you today. I'm not going to give you the phone number yet because I don't want to overwhelm, but I have two young ladies from Rogue River High School sitting right here in front of me, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming FFA beef feed. And if you want to know how to get tickets, well, that's what we're going to talk about. You can't get tickets yet because it's moving online, but we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff with them. And hopefully we're going to be promoting another charitable cause while we're at it today. We might as well do two of them today because I'm feeling charitable today. And so we'll see how that goes. So I'm excited to talk to them. So it's our big FFA show. Actually, we often will have more than one FFA show every year, but this is our big one every year where we promote the beef feed. So we will get to that. I think I'll take a quick break, and then we will come back with more Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Republicans have pushed a proposed pro-life amendment to the Kansas Constitution through the State House on the 48th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's historic decision protecting abortion rights. The measure was approved on an 86-38 vote. It goes next to the Kansas Senate for debate, possibly next week. The Biden administration has suspended new oil and gas leasing and drilling permits on U.S. lands and waters for 60 days as officials move to reverse the energy and environmental policies of the Trump administration. Lloyd J. Austin, a 41-year career military veteran, has won Senate confirmation to become the nation's first black Secretary of Defense. Stocks struggling to a mixed finish on Wall Street. The Dow dropped 179 points. The NASDAQ gained a dozen, and the S&P dropped 11. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with NBA action yesterday. The Knicks back to 500 after beating the Warriors.
The Knicks have won three straight as they beat the Warriors 119-104. New York starting five all scored in double digits. R.J. Barrett with 28 points, while Mitchell Robinson added 18. The Warriors were only down by 5 points in the second quarter when Draymond Green was ejected for committing a second technical foul. Without Green, the Knicks never trailed in the second half, ahead by 15 in the third and by 19 points in the fourth quarter. Stephen Curry with a game-high 30 points for Golden State in the loss. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Elsewhere, the Lakers beat Milwaukee 113-106. It was the Jazz 129 and the Pelicans 118. In other NBA news, Hornets starting center Cody Zeller expected to return to action tonight against the Bulls after missing 4 weeks with a broken bone in his left hand. This is SRN Sports. There was AP Top 25 college basketball yesterday. Number 4, Iowa, upset by Indiana rather handily, 81-69. Number 24, UCLA over California, 61-57. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Islanders 4, New Jersey 1, Winnipeg over Ottawa 4-1. The Lightning got by Columbus 3-2 in overtime. It was the Bruins 5, the Flyers 4 in a shootout. Canadiens 4, Vancouver 3. The Kings beat Colorado 4-2. Florida and Carolina, that one was postponed. NFL news, Patrick Mahomes is giving strong indications he will be the Kansas City Chiefs starting quarterback for the AFC Championship game Sunday against Buffalo. The 2018 NFL MVP took the majority of first-team reps in practice yesterday. Even though he remains in the NFL's concussion protocol, he will have to be cleared by team physicians and an independent neural consultant. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and we're having some problems with our computers, so I don't know if you missed any of the beginning of the show, but we've got some folks from the FFA here who we're going to talk to in just a bit. But before that, every year we have a big promotion that we like to promote here on Rogue Talk, and so joining me on the phone from Kelly's Automotive is Lisa McLeese Kelly. Lisa, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So it's that time of year again where you guys are looking for peanut butter, but I heard you're looking for even more than that. So why don't you tell us what's going on at the two Kelly's Automotive locations?
Yeah, so it's our annual Wipe Out Hunger campaign, and every year we've gathered peanut butter for the food banks. This year, however, the food banks ask that we also ask for jelly. So we're asking that people bring in 40 ounces or more of in-date unopened, and when I say in-date, I mean at least 2 months out, because it's going to be with us for a month, and then it's going to be shelved at the food banks, and then it's got to get out to the hungry. So please make that expiration date at least 2 months out, preferably longer. So 40 ounces or more of peanut, sun, soy, cashew butter, almond butter, and then 10 ounces or more of jelly. And we'll exchange that food for a pair of windshield wipers valued up to $35 placed on your car.
Well, that sounds great. Sounds like a pretty good deal, and it helps the food bank. Now, we've talked about this before, but I think it's been a couple of years, and so no reason we can't refresh people's memory. Why did you originally choose peanut butter as the one? Now, again, you're asking for the jelly as well, but why did we originally choose peanut butter as your part of your drive?
So this all started 10 years ago when I was at a board meeting for the food bank in Josephine County, and our rations from the Oregon Food Bank were potato chips and bubble gum. And I said, how are we going to feed children with potato chips and bubble gum? So the executive director, Susan Shufley, and I came up at that time with something that was shelf-stable and easy for kids to access themselves, and that's how we came up with peanut butter.
Okay, and then so, and you know, we've talked about it's a great protein source. It's an easy to access protein source. So why now did we add the jelly this year? Was there a request? Did the food bank ask for that, or is that something that they've been needing?
Yeah, so Kim from the food bank in Grants Pass in Josephine County actually asked that we add jelly because she thought if kids can get peanut butter, they can get jelly, they can make themselves a sandwich, and it's a complete meal for them that way. So we just wanted to add that in there this year, and we know it's going to take a little bit for people to get used to, but we're hoping that, our most wonderful Southern Oregon will come together and help us out with this.
Yeah, and that would be great, and that's why I wanted to get the message out, and you can definitely bring more. You know, don't bring just the, if you have the means, the food banks are needing things more than ever before, for all different reasons. I guess COVID is probably a huge reason for that, because a lot of people are out of work because of COVID. So the need is really high as it's ever been, probably, or at least as long as I've been promoting your Wipeout Hunger Drive. So bring more if you can afford it. It doesn't matter if it's a wash. They're going to put those wipers on for you anyhow, and you don't have to do it. And anybody that's done that job, it's not hard, but it can be obnoxious. So let Kelly's take care of it for you. Bring them some peanut butter and some jelly. And so tell us where are those two locations so they know where they can go to take advantage of this.
Yeah, so the Grants Pass Kelly's Automotive Service is on 6th Street across from Dairy Queen, and the Medford Kelly's Automotive Service is on Biddle Road across from Airport Chevrolet. And this year we're making it really easy. All they have to do is drive up, look for the signs. They can stay in their car. If we don't come right out, just honk. We'll be right out. We'll grab the food, wipe it down, make sure it's clean, and then we'll measure your wipers, change them out, and you'll be on your way, and you never have to leave the safety of your car. And this runs until February 12th.
All right, so you got a little bit of time, but don't put it off. Put it on your calendar to swing by. And let me make sure I got this right. At least 40 ounces of peanut butter and 10 ounces of jelly.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And that's a lot better meal than bubble gum and potato chips. So we'll keep the food bank going. So Lisa, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it, and I hope that you break. What was the record that you've brought in while I've got you, and what are you trying? What's your goal for this time around?
I think the record between both shops is close to 3,000. We didn't hit that last year. In fact, we were a little bit low last year. So our goal is to, get about 1,200 in Grants Pass and about 1,600 or 1,800 in Medford.
All right. Well, let's see if we can blow that out of the water and really help the people that need help right now. So we really appreciate what you do there at Kelly's. You guys are always doing something for the community, and this is just one of many. And so we really appreciate you, and I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
All right. Bye-bye. So that was Lisa McLeese Kelly from Kelly's Automotive. So get to one of their two locations and support the the peanut butter wipeout hunger drive, peanut butter and jelly this year, and they'll put those wipers on up to a $35 value. They'll come out and put them on for nothing. You just got to donate the food, and people need the help. So let's get together and help that. So let's move on to our next fundraiser that we want to promote, although we're not going to start there, but we're going to move to the FFA, and I have two veterans of Rogue Talk here in front of me, also veterans of FFA competitions and leadership, Anna Howard and Savannah Stillwagner. Ladies, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's great to have you both back here again, although I admit, as we were coming in, I had to ask. I was pretty sure Anna had been on this show. I couldn't remember for sure if Savannah had, because I also get to the beef feed, and I get to the award ceremony usually every year. So I sometimes forget where I saw people, where I talked to people. But you guys have both been on the show, and I told Savannah I remembered her speech that she did. It was one of her competitions her freshman year, and she gave the speech at the awards ceremony. And Savannah, do you remember that speech?
I do.
Now,
very
what
much.
I don't remember, what is it called? It was I can't remember.
It was about xenotransplantation.
And what was the competition that you used that in? It was
public speaking.
And it was an amazing speech. I'm sitting there at the awards ceremony and enjoying the rest of my dinner, and she's giving this speech, and I'm like, wow, she's a freshman. That's really good. And so I had to make sure to get her back. And then Anna has a brother and sister that went ahead of her in the FFA program, but I'll be honest, I don't even remember their names. I mean, she knows. We have a little joke that we've had for a while, because Anna also played basketball, and we've had this kind of running thing that she's my favorite Howard. Now, when I'm put to the task on that one, I deny it. But when it's just me and Anna, I let her know. Yeah, we know. In fact, I don't even remember her brother and sister's names. But, you know, they've been on the show, both of them. So maybe some of you can refresh my memory. So anyhow, before we get into what the new beef feed, which is going to be completely different this year, let's kind of rewind. About a year ago, the whole world kind of came to a halt. And I don't know what you guys are doing FFA wise at that point in the school year, but I know sports wise, I was up north getting ready to cover some of the state playoff basketball games, and got sent home as everything got canceled. And not to rehash the whole thing, but the way it kind of the way the snowball started rolling was, at least for me, I'm driving up to Forest Grove, and I hear on the radio that the NBA has canceled their season, or froze their season, postponed it. They didn't cancel it. And I immediately thought to myself, oh no, this trip has been wasted. And the people in charge are assuring me, no, we're still playing. We're going to play without fans, but it'll be okay. And by the next morning at 10 o'clock, we got sent home. So what was that experience like? I'll start with you, Anna. What was that like for you as a student, where all of a sudden school is shut down, activities are all shut down? How did that happen for you, and how did you handle that at the beginning when this all started?
Well, it was a very stressful time of year. We were just starting to head into our state convention, so like FFA's statewide convention, and it was several of us were going to compete at the state level. And when we heard that news, everything came crashing down. Like, it was crazy moments, but we got through it, and we still were able to compete at the state level, and several of us did very well. So we got through it.
So did you have to do that virtually, or how did that work?
We did. It was postponed for a period of time. It was about a month later that we actually competed over a Zoom video call. And it was a very different experience, but, you know, we got through it.
So Savannah, you, what what activities at that point were you involved in maybe not just FFA, but other school activities? So what kinds of things were you affected you when everything shut down?
I was actually a student director for the middle school play whenever it went down. And the Friday, the March 13th, whenever school was like just not going to happen anymore, that was going to be the opening night of the play. And I was actually absent for that entire week, the last week of school. I was sick and at home. So that was crazy.
Wasn't COVID, was it?
No, don't worry. Don't worry.
You weren't the one that seeded this whole community, are you?
Oh, no. No, I promise you. But yeah, I was texting everyone because it was also, if you know, the air band was happening that week also. I was texting lots of things were happening in group chats and things were just going crazy. Like, are we going back to school? I was like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? But, yeah, I remember, getting a text from a teacher, from the Mrs. Gibson, the director of the play as well, and saying that, like, we're not going to have a show, like, school's shut down. And that was probably the biggest thing, because these kids had worked so hard, and the opening night, we weren't able to get it done.
Yeah, I can't imagine, but I can. And I've told this story on the show before, but I'll quickly give a recap of it. As I mentioned, I was heading up to cover the what I guess it'd be the 3A tournament. Hidden Valley girls were there. I had done their playoff game for them to get into that. And I felt sorry for myself when they canceled everything for about 10 minutes until we left the building and we went out in the parking lot and one of the buses had arrived with a busload of, it happened to be one of the girls' teams, and they're finding out right at that moment that they're, you know, in a lot of cases, maybe the only time they'll ever get a chance to go to the state tournament, and the whole thing is over. And so I immediately quit feeling sorry for myself and I shifted it to, I was devastated for these kids. So I don't know exactly what you were going through, but I have a pretty good idea. So did you, either one of you, and you can take turns or whatever, but were there any situations where you saw people that were just crushed by this, that I would think maybe seniors especially, where their school year, of course, if you're a senior now, you're feeling the same way because your school year's being robbed. And I forgot to ask you, which I think I know, but I'll let you guys tell me. But tell me what, you know, were there any situation? I mean, just what you went through sounds crushing, Savannah. I mean, you're ready, your directorial debut, and it's just stopped. Were there any other stories that you guys know of, you know, people that just, where this just hit them out of the blue, or maybe teachers or other coaches or whatever that were just, you know, this is crazy. What, you know, what's happening? Cause I saw a lot of it and we've all, it feels like we've forgotten some of that, but I think a lot of people, I mean, you guys are still living it. You're still living this online school situation. And we're going to talk about that too. So were there any stories of others that you saw that were just, maybe someone texted you or called you and just said, oh, I can't handle this. And you don't have to give their names. I'm just, I want to know, because I haven't gotten to talk to any of you that are, I mean, really the kids and the teachers to a certain extent really are still the ones that are affected the most, other than, you know, I mean, obviously people that have lost their jobs, you know, a lot of restaurant workers are out of work, but you kids have been, and kids, you young women have been, you know, and men really been hit by this. So tell us if you have any stories about that too.
I remember hearing, whenever, the school was saying like, we're going to go on a break for a little bit. I remember hearing from a couple teachers, one of them is Miss Bambino, our FFA advisor, and a leadership teacher, And John Wynn has brought this up too. John Wynn Ayers, who couldn't be here today, but they
Worry, John Wynn. I'll get you in here. I'm watching you.
But they always go back to the moment whenever I don't even know who said it, but to clean out the lockers, John Wynn always says like that's the moment she knew like this was real. And I think Miss Wallace, the leadership teacher at the school, and Miss Bambino, they both say the same thing. Like it felt like the last day of school, and it kind of was.
Yeah. And it has been. Yeah, I mean, it still is. And so maybe from your perspective, Anna, do you have any stories of stuff like that where people kind of had that realization that school's over? But also I mentioned your brother and your sister, they've probably been affected with this as well. Kind of tell us how that's gone.
Yeah, for sure. My sister is in college, so she came home for spring break and she never went back. She started this year off at college, which is exciting, but I mean, for your freshman year of college to be cut short, it was hard, and we were all feeling that. And I mean, I would hate to have been a senior that year, because that is just devastating. They didn't get to have a normal graduation, and I know for a lot of seniors that was really hard.
Yeah, and I tried to watch the drive-in graduation, and it's not the same. It's not the same. And I was out there for the parade of cars going by, you know, trying to support the kids the best that we could. Of course, I couldn't go. I didn't have any students there, so there was only so much room available. Yeah, it's crazy how different things are, and I hope we're moving toward getting back to normal, maybe by the end of this year. I mean, I've never been super optimistic about it. It's like the sports, the folks that run the sports broadcasting company that I'm working for, they've been super optimistic, and the OSA has actually been pretty optimistic, and every time it gets to those deadlines, their optimism turns into pessimism, and it all stops and moves out farther. And I don't think football is going to start in March. I don't think practice is going to start in February, because we just got more from the governor this past week, and school is still up in the air. The district hasn't made a decision, because how do you make a decision when the state won't, you know, is still moving the goalposts, so to speak, all the time? So what kinds of things, as you went into the summer before you came back to school, and I use the big air quotes, going back to school, what kinds of things did you guys do over the summer to keep yourself maybe not thinking about the fact that school just ended for no reason? I mean, it is a reason, but you know what I'm saying. And did any of you, were any of the FFA kids involved in like the fairs still? Because I know even those were different. It was crazy, crazy summer even, so...
Yeah, I don't know personally much about what happened with the fairs. I know a lot of them were canceled at the beginning of the summer. But I know, I'm pretty sure we still had, I know John Wynn was still active and all of that stuff, as she always is. But I don't know much about it. Do you know
more? That's okay. That's all right. I knew both of you. You weren't involved in any of the fair stuff. I was just trying to think of things that I saw, but it's hard to keep track of all that. But what else? I mean, what did you guys do to keep yourselves busy over the summer? I mean, it had to be different where you get to see your friends, but not like you would normally.
Yeah, it was definitely different. We both, Anna and I both had a job at the Grange Co-op in Grants Pass. That was at the beginning of the summer, so we had that. Looked a little different still, as everything is, but
it was a great opportunity to be able to still be out in public and see people while still following those precautions, but just giving that little time to interact with people, I think, saved us. So.
Well, and the Grange was one of the places that was actually open, obviously following all of the COVID restrictions and whatnot, although you wouldn't know it from some of these places. I tried to get early on in the whole shutdown of the state. I tried to get to Home Depot one day during the week. I think it was a Wednesday, and I had my truck and my trailer, which makes parking a little more difficult. I have to find two spots I can pull through, preferably with not somebody next to me, because, you know, it's not the easiest thing to get in and out of a parking lot. And I drove by and went, there's no way. I couldn't get close to the place. So we know the businesses that were open were overwhelmed, especially the Grange and you know, the Home Depots and Lowe's and Main Building Supply. They were buried because people were staying home, doing their work from home, or they were out of work altogether. They're doing home improvement projects just to keep themselves busy. So I was curious what younger people, you know, I mean, you have your devices and you can talk, but at some point you want human interaction. So I'm glad you guys got to work together, or at least work, you know, at your jobs. So we got back to the school year, and of course school has been mostly, well, for you guys, I think it's been all online, hasn't it? So tell us, Anna, what is that like? What do your classes look like now that it's online?
Well, we have, it's called an A day, B day schedule. So we go to some classes on an A day and some classes on a B day. And it usually lasts about till the noon or afternoon. But recently we have actually been able to get to go into school. They're called Lippy groups. So we go in for a maximum of 2 hours and we get to work on the classes that you really need to be in person to be able to do. So we, both Savannah and I, have been going in for our advanced ag. So we're able to learn a little bit more hands-on and plan, which has been really helpful.
What about you, Savannah?
Yeah, the going in for the Lippy group, that has been very, it's been wonderful to just, even for 2 hours, like, it's definitely helped us to be able to go in and have that interaction, and we've been able to plan for bee feed. We've been able to practice for a competition that we were involved in, so it definitely gave us a chance to do that. But online classes are very different, of course, but yeah, it's different.
So Let's have a little fun with this online class idea. And I got in trouble one time when I did something similar to this, so I'm going to try and be careful this time. And I'm sorry, Mrs. Gibson. I really am. It's not my intention. But I digress. Any of your teachers are so good with this online thing that they're like thinking about opening up a TikTok channel or a YouTube channel? Have you had any fun experiences with the online class? Or maybe some of the students. Maybe some of the students are the normal class clowns are still clowns when they're on the Zoom meetings. How has that gone?
Our history teacher, Mrs. Wallace, I don't know if you know, but there's John Green does a like history videos that it's called Crash Course, and he has a whole like segment thing, and Miss Wallace records lectures for us to watch and take notes. So there's always this joke that like she should start a YouTube channel and be like John Green and spin around in a spinny chair and be like, welcome back kind of a thing. So that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think you guys need to start recording these Zoom sessions so you can make some of those cool TikTok videos with all the effects and stuff. I don't know how to do any of that, or I would do it, but I'm kind of a, I can do tech just enough to get by, so I can do my radio show and operate my iPhone, but that's about it. I'm not too good in fact, I don't even have a TikTok account. I see TikTok videos on Instagram occasionally. So there you go. So I think we'll take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about what we're really here for, and that is the FFA. This is their biggest fundraiser of the year, every year, their beef feed, and obviously there's not the whole thing is different. The beef feed is online. We're going to explain how that works, and of course there's no auction this year, which is one of my favorite parts. I didn't know it would be when I went to my first beef feed, and my wife and I were just like, this is so cool. In fact, I bid on some stuff, and I complain every time I talk about it, and I'll do it again. Those darn Tamalinis got my golf clubs. But seriously, it's so fun, and so we're like just torn up that we can't do this, but we want to make sure that these guys get the most amount of money raised that they can, because it's really hard to do this stuff online, and we want to make sure that they're, you know, that this goes as good as any beef feed has gone, even if it has to be online. So we're gonna get to all of the details of that when we come back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Images of National Guard soldiers camped in a cold parking garage after being sent to protect Washington sparked new calls Friday for investigations of the U.S. Capitol Police, now facing allegations that the agency evicted troops sent to help after its failure to stop rioting mobs 2 weeks ago. Members of both parties were irate about reports that guardsmen were forced to take rest breaks outside the Capitol building. About 25,000 Guard members from across the country deployed to help secure President Joe Biden's inauguration, which went off with only a handful of minor arrests. First Lady Jill Biden visited Guard troops outside the Capitol on Friday, bringing them cookies and thanking them for protecting her family. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 179 points, the NASDAQ rose 12. More details at srnnews.com.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. Parler's request for an injunction to return to service on Amazon has been denied while litigation between the two plays out.
Amazon won't be forced to restore web service to Parler after a federal judge ruled Thursday against a plea to reinstate the fast-growing social media app favored by many conservatives. U.S. District Judge Barbara Rothstein in Seattle said she wasn't dismissing Parler's substantive underlying claims against Amazon, but said it fell short in demonstrating the need for an injunction forcing it back online.
Correspondent Keith Peters, Parler argues in its lawsuit that Amazon violated antitrust laws to quash it by colluding with Twitter, which also uses some Amazon cloud computing services. Amazon claims Parler allowed content that violates First Amendment freedom of speech standards. Wall Street, S&P up 1, Dow down 12, NASDAQ up 74. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And once again in the studio with me from the Rogue River FFA chapter, the best chapter in Oregon, is Anna Howard and Savannah Stillwagner. And we're talking about, well, we've been talking about school and COVID and how rotten that's been and how much fun they're trying to have with the changes in school. But we're going to shift gears a little because what they're really here for is we want to talk about the beef feed. And so I'll start with you, Anna. How did you start to transition this with your advisors and the leadership? How did you the conversation first start, and how are we going to kind of do this year?
Well, we knew it needed to be different. So we were trying to figure out, you know, how can we do this in the best way possible that's still going to be allowed and that we're still going to make the community have a way to support us and have a way to get involved during this time. And it took a while to figure out, but eventually we figured that, you know, having a sale, having an auction isn't going to work. But we can still do this. We can still have the beef feed, so we're selling tri-tip, and we can still have a sale. So we have an online sale with beef feed, and it's a little bit different this year, but you can order online, and then there is a pickup day that we'll pick up.
Okay. And so, Savannah, what has been involved in the planning of this? Because as we were talking off the air, because of COVID and because of things are so much different throughout the community. There's businesses that are shut down. There's businesses that are struggling. You guys have taken a little different approach to getting your items for the store or for the sale that you're doing. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So usually, you know, we go around, we ask for donations from different companies or different businesses, but we didn't feel like that's something that we should be doing right now. Everyone's struggling. So we just wanted to do the best thing that, like Anna said, like something that the community can still be involved in. So we started making our own. I didn't make anything, but the wood shop and the metal shop, like those classes.
You need to get on that, Savannah.
I know. I'm kind of slacking, but.
Maybe some Dixie cups and some, you know, toothpicks or something. You can make something. I mean, come on.
Yeah, like popsicle stick creations.
There you go.
I can do something. But but nope, the store's already open. Everything's in there. So it's just creations from Mr. Herringshaw's metal shop, wood shop, just some like artwork and some different like metal items that students have made in the shop. They're really cool, actually. I'm very impressed. I didn't know that like, I don't know how it all works, but it's pretty cool that they can make such cool designs on the
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, well, and I remember at the auction and stuff last time, some of the stuff they had made. It's pretty impressive what some of these kids can do. I keep calling you guys kids, and I hope you don't take any disrespect, but I'm old, so you guys could be 30 and you're still kids to me. But it's amazing what some of the stuff, and then of course Mr. Herringshaw, you know, he's created some stuff in the past that, you know, everybody really liked. So what are the logistics of this? How can people get their orders in, and where do they go to see what's in the store so that they can grab stuff before it's gone?
So it's an online site. So our link is, the easiest way to find it is the Rogue River FFA Facebook page. And it's an online site which you would go to, and all of our items are listed. And you would purchase whatever you're interested in, and there are some really cool things on there. But when you go to check out, it'll give you all the information that you need to. Basically, you are picking up on February 6th, 4:30 to 6:30. It'll be a drive-through pickup. You can get your meat there. You can get the items that you purchased. And we're hoping it's going to work. It should, but
I think it will. We've got to keep promoting it, and I'll keep talking about it until it closes, until the time runs out. But we got to keep pushing it on Facebook and Instagram and wherever else you guys, I don't know. Again, we were talking off air. The TikTok, I don't do that, but if you guys have a TikTok, I don't know. Do you guys do FFA stuff on TikTok?
No.
Okay. No, so Instagram, I know I've seen you on Instagram and Facebook, of course. So we'll just have to keep pushing it. Every time you see a post related to the FFA B feed, share it. Please share it. We need as many people to see it. And I've got to tell you, the tri-tip is amazing. If you have not gone to the beef feed, this tri-tip, I would go just for the tri-tip. Although the auction and stuff went in previous years, as I mentioned, is super fun, but I would go just for the tri-tip. So tell us again, what's the website?
So the easiest way to find it is on the Facebook page.
Oh, go to the Facebook. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think there is, even if for those of us that still know how to do that, you can scan one of those QR codes. Even that, one of my posts has the poster with the QR code. So scan the code. It'll take you right to the store. But we've got it's so hard. And like Savannah said, they're not asking the businesses to participate this year because most of the businesses are hanging on. They've been getting super creative just to keep their businesses going. And I know even the couple of businesses that I know, the people personally, they're doing everything they can, but yeah, they're not going to be a lot of help to this. So it's up to us. Someone like me, not that I'm not affected by COVID. In fact, there's some serious things going on in our family related to COVID. But as far as my job goes, I haven't really been affected that much. So it's up to people like me to do to we've got to move in where the businesses aren't being asked to help. And I'm not saying they wouldn't help, because some of them would anyhow, even which I think is good that you have decided not to ask, because it's I think it's the right thing to do. But a lot of them would still help and probably will still help. So it's up to us, those of us that we still have the means. We got to blow this out of the water. We got to make this as good as any other year. So what kind of duties have the two of you had as you've had to put this store together? What is your work been on kind of making this happen, making this a reality?
Well, truthfully, a little bit of everything, from the advertising, trying to get those flyers out, spread the word throughout the community, to figuring out, you know, we have no clue how much people are going to purchase on that store. So with the tri-tip, for instance, communicating with where we're going to get the tri-tip, and just to make sure that it's actually going to be possible, and it is, and it's going to be amazing. And we just need the community's help with sharing the word.
Absolutely. And how about you, Savannah? What's been your duties?
Like Anna said, a little bit of everything. Making flyers, spreading the word, advertising on social media. We just made a Facebook video that was posted. I enjoyed that. It had a preview of some of the items and just saying, here's a couple things you can purchase, like merchandise. There's a scholarship fund you can donate to, and of course the tri-tip, and there's potatoes. But our video kind of showed a little bit of that. It was a few of the Rogue River FFA officers, so that was fun putting that together. But yeah, just spreading the word and getting it around to everyone and getting the site up and running.
Yep. For sure. So it's super important. We gotta support them. You gotta order the tri-tip. Believe me, it's well worth whatever you pay for it. It's so good. In fact, the food they serve at the award ceremony is super good, and that's not even the focus. It's the tri-tip at the beef feed is phenomenal. So you have to get some of that. Do not pass up the chance to get some of that. And we got a little bit of time left, but let's give a shout out to your advisors, Mr. Herringshaw, Mrs. Bambino. We want to make sure that we let you know we love you guys, and you're awesome. These young women and men that you work with are also awesome. I know this because I've been kind of plugged in for the last few years now, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else when it's time to bring FFA on. So I'm pleading to you people, if you see me, I'm on my knees, I'm begging. Okay, I'm not on my knees because I wouldn't be able to get back up, but I'm begging. I know how hard this is. I was talking to the girls when they got here that, you know, I had the Grants Pass Pregnancy Care Center on a few months back, and they were doing their gala was all online, and he had shared a statistic with me that I found a little defeating, but not surprising, that these places that have events that are their big fundraising events, when they've moved them online, the average is 25% of what they would normally get. I don't want that for these guys. I want 100% and then some. So I'm begging you, do your part and share it. Even if your part is, I'm out of work, I can't really afford to help out, but you can share it on Facebook. Every time you see a post pop up in your feed on Facebook, share it. Share it to your friends. That store is open to anyone. The tri-tip, you gotta be able to come and get on when it's ready. But, you know, do what you can, and so let's just make that a huge success. So now, if they finally let you girls get back to school, are you going to be happy about that? It's going to be a pretty exciting time?
Oh, yeah. Super excited. It's my senior year, so anything that I can get, I'll take it.
Yeah, I really hope you get to have a regular graduation this year. They did a great job of putting together the best they could do last year, but it's not the same, and I sure hope that I feel for those kids, but I hope it doesn't continue. I hope you'll get that. And what about you, Anna? Are you excited, or are you kind of liking that online school?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that I could do it, but to be honest, it's going to be good to get back into the normalcy of it. And get back in that building.
Well, I'm lucky in that I've got to spend a fair amount of time around Anna for the last few years. The Anna of a few years ago probably would have said, nope, online school's good, I'm okay. But the Anna now, nah, she's enjoying the whole experience. And Savannah, thank you for being here. Anna, thank you for being here. And everybody, support the FFA and be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.